I have been so geeky this week, you guys.
The right amount of drunk for this.
I have a million points.
Dead characters do not yield spin-offs.
This is Serious Business.
Greetings, there's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and this is Serious Business. I am Jeff, your host for this week's super special live episode, where we are in beautiful South Central Massachusetts in the Berkshires, enjoying a lovely day by sitting inside and recording a podcast. I am joined by an excellent panel of people, including a special guest, but first, let's start with Kristen. Kristen, how's it going?
It's going well.
I'm glad to hear it. It's always going well with you. Why is it always going well with you?
Because I'm a lying liar who lies.
Oh. That's
no,
fair.
No, good. I'm just generally happy.
That's fair. I'm glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. So, Kristen, I know you might not have done too much role-playing, but if you have done any role-playing ever, what is your favorite stat to give yourself a lot of?
See, the thing is, I only played Dungeons & Dragons once in college when I was a freshman, and that led me down the path of wondering why LARPing isn't cool, and so I joined the fencing team instead. Because basically, I just want to run around and hit people with swords.
Mm-hmm. And that's a sport.
Yeah.
Fencing was great.
It's a great sport.
I wasn't very good at it, but I enjoyed hitting people with swords, so... Mm-hmm.
So you would give yourself perhaps a high one-handed weapon skill...
There we go.
...if you were to roleplay. Yeah, I could see that.
Okay.
See that. Go fence people, club people.
Yeah. I wasn't saber, so it was more the smacking people instead of the poking people. So.
Yes, yeah. Saber's, what, longer, flatter blade, basically?
I mean, they all look relatively the same. It's more about how you attack and, like, what is viable. Like, I forget Epe and... Epee saber and something else, but anyway, those
Wasn't
are more
just
like,
foil.
Yeah. Foil, yeah. Sorry, yeah. And I forget which is which, but one is like you can attack. One was like a dueling sword, and so if you hit someone on the toe, that's a point.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was that was first blood when you're dueling, and there's the first kill, and that is just like the chest area. Saber is like waist up, including the head. I tend to smack people upside the head, and that was actually a cavalry sword, so it's more slashing motion than poking.
So, Kristen, you are now significantly more badass in my view of you than you have ever been. Not to say that you've ever not been viewed as a badass.
That's right.
But now that I know that you can, in fact, duel a 17th or 18th century count, that makes you all the more cool.
That's right.
And, Kristen, what, if anything, are you drinking this fine, fine, beautiful morning?
Well, yesterday I drank an entire lighthouse of wine.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
That was epic.
So, I might be tapped out for the weekend.
Can you just describe what you mean by lighthouse full of wine?
We made a liquor store run, and I saw this beautiful lighthouse-shaped bottle of red cranberry wine. It was basically like juice, and I just... So, you know, yeah, drinking it. I shared a little, but not much. So basically,
I got a sip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cranberry wine. It was very tasty.
It was juice.
There was some juice in there, right?
It tasted like juice.
It was really sweet. You're
then
probably
it went...
on like a sugar low rather than a hangover, honestly. That'd be my guess. That should be sugar.
I'm fine now, but yesterday was a little rough. I'm like, there's a lot of napping involved, so.
Yeah, I feel like that's what weekends away are like, you know, hangovers and naps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And eating.
Yeah, and eating.
And eating.
Oh, I'm riding that whole cycle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so moving on, we got John. John, how's it going?
Very well, Jeff. I'm very rested and relaxed right now.
Rested and relaxed.
Yep.
Nice.
Good old R&R.
That's good. It's good to get away from it all and just take it easy. Yeah, I approve. So, John, what would your favorite role-playing stat be that you would give yourself lots of points of?
I always like to be the guy... Who's able to, you know, fix things in a jam, like, how do we put this thing back together? Mm-hmm. I can, you know, like, I like to have those cool, useful skills to fix things or figure things out. So those types of special skills.
Yeah, mechanical, electrical repair, very useful.
But also a guy that knows how to shoot a gun when he needs to.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't blame you for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, John, what, if anything, are you drinking this fine morning, I guess?
Because we're on the earlier side and I'm just getting started, I'm started with an Angry Orchard Hard Cider, apple ginger flavored.
Sounds good. Yeah, and it's, you know,
like
it's
apple juice.
A little after 11 a.m. I think that's officially the time it's okay to start drinking while we're out here. So, sounds good. So moving on, we got Michelle. Michelle, how's it going?
It's going pretty well, Jeff.
I'm glad to hear it. Very glad to hear it. So, Michelle, what is your favorite stat to give yourself in role-playing games?
So, usually I really like to give myself high, like, sneak and spot hidden, because I like to be the person that can, like, sneak into places and find things. But my last character, I rolled really high, like, huge size, very slow. So this time I gave them, like, very high intelligence and, like, medicine-type things. Mm-hmm. But I really prefer to be small and tiny and sneak into things. Mm-hmm. And be the one to, like, find that thing in the back of the drawer.
The thing that nobody else saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for me.
Except for you. That's very useful, very handy to have. So what, if anything, are you drinking this fine morning?
I am not drinking anything, but I'm totally okay with that.
That's good. It's not required when you are in such
drinking
a...
Drinking in the sunshine.
The fresh air.
Yep.
Sounds good, sounds good. So we are joined by a special guest. Every time our group of friends comes out here, our good friend Jeff, we'll call him Jeff B, since I'm Jeff A, you know, naturally. Maybe Jeff 2.
Well, it is your podcast, so it's only fair, I suppose. But, you know, if I were to do a podcast and, you know, roles reversed, I think I would have to be Jeff A, or at least Jeff 1, and then you can be Jeff 2.
Right. Actually,
or
I
Jeff
think...
also.
That's true. I think we will call you Game Master Jeff.
Okay.
Because Jeff leads us in excellent, excellent, excellent games of Call of Cthulhu.
Master.
For people who are unfamiliar, Call of Cthulhu is similar, is a pen and paper game similar to Dungeons and Dragons, but it takes place in the H.P. Lovecraft racist world of the early 20th... I mean, I'm sorry, did I say that? It takes place in the early 20th century... and involves all sorts of mysterious occult things. Instead of, you know, a typical player in Dungeons and Dragons where you're a warrior or something like that, you're an investigator, and you're basically trying to solve a strange series of mysteries or something like that, some circumstance that ultimately leads you to a horrifying truth and usually a really great cinematic battle or something where you're mostly just trying not to die. So Jeff is fantastic at this, and Jeff, I am really happy to have you here. How is it going?
It is going great, Jeff. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
No problem. We are glad to have you, as I said. So, Jeff, I know you do a lot of game master work, but running games. But if you are a player,
yes.
What stat do you like to give yourself?
I've been thinking about this ever since you asked Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I tend to go for the more magical-oriented characters. That's assuming we're in like a fantasy, like Dungeons and Dragons type setting.
Mm-hmm.
Either like a wizard or... a healer, you know, something like that. Something with a more defensive capability, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to be a frontline fighter.
Yeah.
If we're talking more, like, modern or real-world stuff, quote-unquote, I would probably be, like, in Call of Cthulhu, I would be a scientist. Like a chemist or, like, a biology professor, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like Call of Cthulhu's answer to magic.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a lot of things when you're a scientist in that game that can be quite amazing. You just, you know, again, it's just based on the player's creativity.
That's awesome. So, Jeff, what, if anything, it is traditional, what, if anything, are you drinking this fine morning as we record?
Okay, so I've got a couple things in front of me.
Oh, boy.
My first is...
gauntlet.
I'm going to call... I don't know if this is a true Irish coffee. It's I pressed the coffee machine once... and I did a couple seconds of a Jameson into the mug as well.
Nice.
There's nothing else. I don't know. I think there, like a true Irish coffee has a few other things, like maybe like Bailey's, but this is my poor man's Irish coffee.
You've got Irish whiskey in it. That's close enough.
I also do have a glass of water, and after that, I do have a beer that is unopened by my feet, just in case.
Just in case.
As a GM, you always have to be prepared. You always have to be thinking 2-3 steps ahead.
Nice.
Excellent, excellent. So let's see, what's my favorite stat? I've wanted to do this for a while, but I haven't been able to, because you have to build these skills up over time, but I like... I usually start, if I'm doing a Call of Cthulhu thing, with library use, and I want to get someone who is really good at the kind of Cthulhu mythos and the occult stuff, but I just haven't had an opportunity. Like, those skills, you can't roll very easily. You have to have kind of an unusual profession. But, so when in doubt, I go with library use, just tons of it, It seems to be really extensible and useful no matter what campaign you're doing. There's always a, oh my god, this mysterious looking book is in front of you. You know, how do you read it?
You want like the Renfield of the group, just like, oh god, it's happening again.
Yeah.
It's a very literary game.
It is. It is definitely a game that involves research.
Yeah. Although accounting came in handy this last time.
Multiple times.
That was impressive, your use of accounting. I was glad that that came up because... So many people end up with accounting as a professional sort of trait. And
you know what? The thing is, like, accounting, if I can kind of just go off on a little footnote here, accounting in, you know, the rule book is really kind of like forensic accounting. Mm-hmm. You're going through the business ledgers, trying to suss out blackmail, bribery attempts, any funny payments or invoices. Mm-hmm. I took a step back and say, well, you know, it's really just mathematics. Mm. So when we sit down and, you know, if your character has a 50 in accounting, I read that as a 50 in mathematics. Mm. So if you're ever encountering a mathematical puzzle or something to do with numbers, equations, mm-hmm. or mathematical logic, accounting will help you out. And I think we saw this today during the game that we played.
Work the other way around? If you have like 50 in mathematics and you do accounting stuff?
Well, mathematics, strangely enough, is not a skill. Yeah. And I was going to make a mathematics skill, but I'm like, you know what? I'll just throw it into accounting because it's really the same thing.
Cool. So I am also drinking a Samuel Adams White Lantern, which I don't think I've ever had before, but it's pretty
delicious.
Yeah, it's very tasty.
Yeah.
I'm liking it a lot. So, this episode we are going to talk a lot about unplugging from the traditional digital realms of media that we focus on, and in case you haven't already guessed, we're going to talk a lot about pen and paper games and how much fun it is to play them. We're going to get Jeff's insight on how he creates these incredible scenarios and adventures for us to play in, and before we do that, we're going to take our first refill break because, why not? So we will BRB. And we're back. So, to get us kicked off, let's have Jeff talk a little bit about the first time he led a game and what basically made him want to do it more frequently. So, Jeff, give us a little history.
Sure. I think it's fairly standard, like, D&D geek history. Like, I played Dungeons & Dragons when I was, like, 10 to 13 years old.
I did not know that about you.
A little bit, yeah, I played some.
Awesome.
I would play in other kind of various groups, and I was never really happy with how they ran it. It was always like, a monster appears. What do you want to do? I'm like, I guess we attack. I'm like, and then we kill the monster. And another monster appears. I guess we have to attack this one, like, this one too? yes we do? Okay, I guess we have to kill this one too. Another monster. Hours and hours of this, and I was just so bored. So I started running my own like D&D games when I was like a freshman, sophomore in high school, and I ran like one or two. So I got a sense of like, well, not even a sense, just like the barest taste of what it is like to run a game. Anyway, you know, we graduate from high school, college happens, and honestly, it was kind of Wikipedia that got me into Call of Cthulhu, because I was reading some H.P. Lovecraft at the time. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm one of those guys who, whatever I'm reading, or reading about, or watching, I'm going to look up at the Wikipedia page during that, you know, 10-year of absorbing that particular piece of media.
Makes sense.
And I'm reading, you know, about H.P. Lovecraft's life, and this and that, the other. And then I realized, like, you know, influence in pop culture section. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There has been a role-playing game designed around Lovecraft's writings. Interesting. So actually, I spent like a year or two before I even brought it up to people, just reading about Call of Cthulhu. And more or less, I didn't even really buy the book until like last year or like 18 months ago. But I was on all sorts of user websites, just getting all the like, sort of the free information that I could, learning about how Call of Cthulhu works, what it tries to do, as opposed to other gaming systems like Warhammer, like Dungeons and Dragons, Pathfinder, whatever, what have you. Mm-hmm. And then, kind of concurrently, we have our retreats in Western Massachusetts, And I thought, you know what? This might just be a fun thing to try out with like four or five people one night. Mm-hmm. So I got a small group together and we played. It's in actually the main core book for any Call of Cthulhu fans out there, called The Haunting, which is like your first scenario. And I thought it was going to crash and burn. And for the first hour, it's very slow. Like, it's a slow burn. But then there's always that one scene. There's always that one NPC interaction or that one clue that just, like, boom! And people just fall into place. They're invested in the story. They want to investigate the darkness. They want to try to beat the darkness.
Mm-hmm. And it should be noted that I don't think, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, none of us do pen and paper games regularly before this. Like, none of us, we were all a bunch of noobs. Like,
we're all new to this, really.
Yeah.
It definitely very fresh. Like,
yeah.
Not knowing what to expect and quite how to do it.
Right.
But I think we all got pretty hard.
Yeah.
Pretty hardly sold.
And this is now maybe the fourth or fifth one of these that Jeff has been leading. And this time he's doing two. The last one I went to, he led like a 16-person mega adventure he was dividing up groups and like giving people secret messages, and it was just the most insane thing. But it's become like a staple of retreat now. I'm like, yes, I'm going, and I'm going to experience nature, and yeah, get away from the city, that'll be great. But I'm also going to play Call of Cthulhu, and I'm going to really enjoy it. So thank you for that, Jeff.
No problem. You're all very welcome. I really have a blast running them.
Mm-hmm. I do want to ask,
yes.
You seem to ascribe to more of a performance style Call of Cthulhu running.
Hello? Excuse me, who is this?
Who is it, Doctor?
I'm not sure. I think it's a bad connection. Hello? Click. Okay. Hey, Jeff?
I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Can I roll an occult to see if there's any kind of knowledge that I have of whatever that noise was?
Go right ahead. Telegram. For Gretchen.
I missed it.
What about Star 69?
John hits the floor. Ace is now on the floor in your office.
Have you ever played another person's game? If not, that's fine. But
you know, I love Call of Cthulhu, and I would love to play it one day.
Uh-huh. So you've only ever run it.
I would love to play Call of Cthulhu. I haven't had the opportunity to yet.
That's fun, because I had played it once with another friend who ran a couple games, and his style was a bit more procedural. Like, it was still very fun, and I enjoyed it. But it was definitely like a different take on running the game. And I feel like that's part of what makes pen and paper games so special. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like being a part of an improv group where there are more firm rules.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, like, you can play, you know, with video games or board games or any other type of games, you know, the rules are so set in stone that even if you play with different people, you're still having a relatively similar experience. You know kind of what to see. But you can play Call of Cthulhu with two different, you know, game masters or people who are running the game, and it's totally different. Mm-hmm. Completely different. And he even did this one of the same scenarios you did, and it played out totally differently. So that was just a really remarkable thing about these games. But yeah, have you guys played any role-playing games aside from this? I know you haven't played many, but is this, like, really the first experience with it?
Pretty much. I mean, I had a minor run-in with D&D when I was a kid in, like, fourth grade, to which I didn't know what it was, but I did not make it past, you know, the first opening dice rolls. Once I got the gist of, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, when I did it with a friend from school, and, you know, he wasn't too up on the performance end of it, but, yeah, I pretty much got turned off to it right away. Like, I thought we were going to, like, because he was talking about, you know, you could be a warrior or a wizard or a thief, and you can, you know, you have all these weapons, and I'm like, that sounds awesome. You know, being a 10-year-old, I thought it was going to involve, like, outside play, you know, like,
LARPing is cool.
Yeah, more of a LARPing thing, but it turned out to not be that, so I pretty much, that was pretty much my only paper game until Cthulhu, I think.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I've observed quite a few Dungeons & Dragons games. Like, just, I think they're actually quite entertaining to watch. Mm-hmm. When you're listening and watching other people go through these games and you're an outsider.
It's almost like an improv radio show.
Yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm. But Call of Cthulhu was the first game that I actually participated in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, watching this, you guys would just finish up a game that I was just watching, because I'm not familiar with it, I didn't want to slow you guys down, but I was sitting there like, do the thing! Ask the question!
It is tough when you're on the outside like that, especially if you see an answer that other people aren't seeing. It's like, you stupid!
Yeah.
Do the thing! And then, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's weird what you guys are saying, because I feel like when I was younger, I did not appreciate this type of game at all. Like even into my teen years, and I had to oddly enough like grow into this. It's like a weird thing about adulthood. It's like in order for us to exercise our imaginations, because when you're a kid, your imagination is going nuts like all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's more like what John was saying, where like you want to be outside playing like a game that's more immersive to you.
Yeah.
Whereas when being an adult, it's like this is incredibly appealing to me because it allows me to use my imagination. But it makes up for all of the imagination that I've lost, like, just by getting older. Like.
Yeah.
Your comment's very kind of on the nose of where I want to go with this. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to feed it back to what you had said just a couple minutes ago mm-hmm. about the appreciating what pen and paper role-playing can do.
Mm-hmm.
You had talked about board games and video games. I'm going to reference two fairly popular ones, Monopoly and Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Popular games, fun to play,
mm-hmm.
and you can do so much in both games, especially in Skyrim, you can do so much. But let's say you land on Park Place, well, you can either buy it or pay rent. You don't have the option to burn down the building.
Right.
You don't have the option to scale the building. In Skyrim, you could buy a house, but you never have the option to burn it down, even if you think that the enemy is inside that house.
Mm-hmm.
In pen and paper role-playing game, I mean,
burn that mother.
It's not a guarantee,
but you can
do whatever your imagination can think up,
mm-hmm.
or at least you can try to do.
You can roll for it.
You can always roll for what you want to do. Whether it's a success or not, I always let the dice decide.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that as a game master? Like, do you feel like your players are playing with you or against you, or is it sort of... Because, like, sometimes mm-hmm. you get that player who's like, I'm going to outsmart this game, you know? And I've definitely been guilty of that from time to time. I'm always like, how can I break the rules here in order to, like, because you have so much freedom. Like,
those are the best and the worst players because they keep a good GM on his toes or her toes. If a player really thinks of something creative, number one, that's awesome because it does take some of the weight off of the GM's shoulders, because now I don't have to provide all the drama.
Mm-hmm.
A player can be like, I want to rappel off this building.
Not naming any names.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Or jump off the third story window out of this tower instead of being attacked by the monster. I'm like, that's awesome. You know?
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting you to do that, but I'll roll with it.
Yeah. You could have taken the elevator.
Exactly. Jeff in the elevator alone and freaking out.
Yeah.
It worked out.
Yeah.
The elevator was fine. I thought it wasn't going to be, but it was fine.
No, but like those players, I think if you're a good GM, you're inspired by those players.
Mm-hmm.
There are some players who are there who want to make it like all about them
mm-hmm.
instead of all about the group and the group's experience and the story that we're trying to collaboratively tell.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the players that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, we have such a great group of like thinkers, speakers, and participants that people do lean in, and I think everyone leans in equally. It seemed like during this last game we've just played, from my perspective anyway, everyone had their moment to shine. Everyone had a win, and everyone like, and some people had a good fail too. Like they got up, they dusted themselves off, and they proceeded. So everyone had a good dramatic moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It very much was about the teamwork.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, absent the alcohol. Yes.
Got a little sloppy last night.
We had to do two-parters, and I was getting sloppy last night, too.
It was pretty clear that there was one sober half and one not-sober half. In the sober half, things went very swimmingly. In the not-so-sober half, there was... Which building are we in again?
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, walking into walls, sort of, like...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, no? Yeah, should we go? No?
Yeah, so, a lot of, like, where the fuck are we? I'm like, are we together now? Or not?
Yeah, we didn't have our room are you guys in until this morning when we played.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, just a footnote. We had a great... We had an awesome game this morning. It kind of killed my soul just a little bit that we played Call of Cthulhu during the daylight.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. It was a little too nice out to be intimidated by things like giant supernatural hands snatching people. You know, when you look outside and it's just gorgeous, you're just like, oh, that's not real.
That can be creepy in its own way. Like, oh, you know, it's a beautiful day out. And then... Mm-hmm.
I will say, were any of you involved in the infamous power outage game?
Yeah.
I was not involved in it, but I was...
John was there, yeah.
You're part of it.
I was part of... I was just observing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was scary as shit.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain what happened?
So, John, you want to go ahead?
So, we were playing. I don't remember... We were in a building in the game. I don't remember if it was a basement or where exactly it was, but we were inside... And, you know, outside in real life, it was very, like, windy. I don't think it was a stormy night. It was just really windy. And it must have knocked some
lights
down.
Yeah.
And every light in the entire house just freaked out.
And right before this point, you guys had to trying to decide whether or not you wanted to, like, cast the spell of darkness or, like, cast the spell of light and figure out which one is going to do what. And I'm trying to decide, and there's this demon that's going to come.
Right.
And which one are we going to do? And I got up and left the room, and then all of a sudden...
But what was really great...
That was so awesome. That
was, what was really great about it was that Jeff was in the middle of telling part of the story, so we were all, like, on the edge of our seats, like, okay, what... And then when the power went out, it's like... I mean, you're so, like, on edge of what's going to happen, and then when, you know, that outside thing actually happens, and you're in pitch blackness, it...
Anybody have any candles?
Yeah. So, I mean, the other awesome, I mean, the good bookend to that story is that the power was out for quite some time, so we just lit all the candles we could find in the house and played the rest of the game by candlelight.
Which is awesome, and that's the great thing about pen and paper games.
Yeah.
So, I do have a question for Kristen also. Kristen, you, myself... Our good friend Steve and Marcus played a game.
I am the queen of the trash pile.
Yes, you became the queen of the trash pile. You were then defeated.
Hutch.
Yes, if I remember correctly. We played a game of Dungeons & Dragons that Marcus ran. Now, you just observed your first GM Jeff game of Call of Cthulhu.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering just how different, if you could speak to, you know... How it felt to watch that versus the game that we played on the podcast at this point, I guess, several dozen episodes ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's easier when you're all in the same room and it's not just Marcus yelling about turn order at you. But it didn't seem like there was turn order in Cthulhu until you had, like, the fight, and then you had to go in order, but... You know, mostly it was just like, okay, what do you guys want to do? And whoever had the best idea. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure about if that makes any difference or not, but...
Yeah, I could definitely see that making a bit of a difference. I think the Dungeons & Dragons that we played didn't necessarily involve more action, because it wasn't... Oh, no, I'm sorry, let me rephrase. It didn't involve more battle, it involved more action a little bit.
We all turned on each other, like, immediately.
Not immediately. When the trash pile came into play, we did. That was pretty fun. But it'd be things like... You should go back and listen to the episode. It's a great episode. We'll post it. but basically, there'd be a situation like... There's a rickety bridge, and you have to cross it.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd have to, like, figure out how to cross it. And turn order would come into play there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, like during, like, action sequences.
Yeah, during like, action sequences like that. I have to say, I do think Marcus did a great job, given that we were all kind of remote.
Yeah.
But you're totally right in that when you're sitting in the same room, that's the best experience you can possibly have.
I was just fucking around, too. Just casting magic missile and shit.
So on that note, I'm going to call our second refill break. We'll be back with some final thoughts on pen and paper gaming, and then our Geek of the Week segment. So we will BRB!
Woo! May 1st, 1919. On the treatment of Mary Druce. Miss Truce was admitted into Bridgewater in January after being found by her father with the disemboweled carcasses of livestock at their family farm. According to police records and witness statements at the time, Druce raved about revealing patterns and discerning some metaphysical truth within the entrails.
And we're back! So at this point I want to get people's final thoughts on pen and paper gaming, and then we'll head on into Geek of the Week. So let's start with Kristen. Kristen, now that you have observed a game of Call of Cthulhu, you've played a little bit of on-air Dungeons & Dragons, what do you think of the pen and paper gaming?
I think I want to try bringing Call of Cthulhu back to New York with me, getting some people involved. And I'm also wondering, actually, if it already exists or start developing a Sherlock Holmes version.
There is, actually. It is called Cthulhu by Gaslight. It's set in 1890s London.
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm. I would talk more about that, but my players are in the room.
They can't see you, honey.
But yeah, just...
that's for your effect. That was just to make you laugh, Kristen.
Just in general, Kristen, New York City is known for having an insanely prolific role-playing...
Yeah, those are probably too professional. I'm going to get like my friends involved and like, practice a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to John.
You know, in terms of the paper gaming, for me to really be into it and enjoy the time, I think that rests entirely on who is the game master. So anytime Jeff is a game master of, it could be Call of Cthulhu, it could be Dungeons and Dragons, it could be whatever, I'm down. I think that's what makes it for me. If it's more of like a procedural thing, like you were talking about earlier, Jeff A, I think... You know, I probably wouldn't be down to that. It's got to be... It's all performance. I mean, that's what sucks me in.
Mm-hmm. And you lived. And you lived.
Yeah, I mean...
What if it kills you right away?
That's the game, man.
That's the game. That's part of the
game. Don't hate the game, master. Hate the game.
Yeah, there you go.
Response.
All right, let's move on to Michelle.
I love Call of Cthulhu. I love pen and paper games. I think they're fun. I think the game master does add a huge aspect to it, but I think it also has to do with the group that you're playing with. Mm. And I think that we usually do have a solid group that tends to work pretty well together. Although there are some in our group who tend to be antagonistic. Like, I'm not going to share any secrets with you. I'm not going to do anything. This is going to be all about me and my character. But for overall, I think we do a pretty good job. And I think a really good story gets told too. Like, I'm big on story. And some scary shit can happen, all this stuff can happen, but as long as there's a story that's involved, I'm pretty much on board. So I give 2 thumbs way up.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Let's move on to special guest GM Jeff.
Just to kind of piggyback on Michelle's statement, you make a really good point. The point of pen and paper role-playing is just to tell a great story.
Yeah.
It really is collaborative storytelling. The only losers at the table, whether your character lives, dies, goes insane, gets eaten by monsters, gets blasted off to Mars... Did you have fun?
Mm-hmm.
Then you won.
Aww.
We're all winners!
And when you tell a good story, everyone's a winner.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is just the opposite of what any Call of Cthulhu game master could ever possibly say. No, everyone's a winner.
You're all nuts!
Because again, the other game master... Everyone's a winner.
I'll expect especially
trip
you. To Arkham Asylum for the rest of your life.
Especially you, guy who can't help but see everyone as a disemboweled human for the rest of his life. I'm just kidding, of course. I totally agree with the sentiment. So my final thoughts are that pen and paper gaming was something that I was resistant to for dumb reasons. I will say up front, because I was someone who played lots of video games, and I was like, pen and paper games, that seems like too much work, it seems dumb, do you have to invest too much, I don't think it's for me. And then, as I've grown older, and ironically a little more mature, I have realized that this is just a really fun way to spend a couple hours with a bunch of friends, just doing the sorts of things that harken back to your childhood. So I am a huge advocate of people doing this. That said, I do appreciate all the points everybody's made about like making sure you find a good group, because I've definitely heard stories from friends who have had bad experiences with bad groups, and I
I think that would not be fun at all whatsoever to be trapped in a 6-hour long game with a bunch of people who are just allergic to your sense of fun. That would not be good. But yeah, I am incredibly grateful to Jeff for running Call of Cthulhu. I am incredibly grateful to my other friend for introducing me to it. I think it's a really great concept, and I think it's really awesome that it's in public domain and anyone can do whatever they want with it, which is why this great game exists. Yeah, just...
you could set it anywhere.
Night Vale? There are game players in the room? Sorry.
All right, so on that note, we are going to wrap this episode up the same way we wrap up every episode, and that's with our Geek of the Week segment, where we talk about things we've been watching, reading, doing, or playing over the past few weeks or so that don't have anything to do with the topic we've been discussing for the past hour. So let's start with Kristen on that one. Kristen, what have you been up to?
Well, before we played Cthulhu our first night here, I managed to get you all, even you protesting so much, to play my Slash game.
Oh, God.
I got the Kickstarter.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was a fun game.
Awesome.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, I talked about this before, but it's basically like Cards Against Humanity, but it's just a whole bunch of character cards, and you put one down, and you have your hand, and you put whoever you want to fuck them. just pair them up, and then the chooser picks the best pairing. So, do you guys remember any of the pairings we had? I mean, you're shipping Indiana Jones and Han Solo, and... Yeah,
I can't remember.
We were
inspired, one might say.
Yeah.
There was lots of alcohol involved.
Yeah. And I did win, so all that fanfic reading is paying off.
I will say that the widespread diversity of the media was impressive.
Yes it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like literature, anime, like modern TV series, sitcoms.
Yeah.
It was everything you could.
Oh, there's no Seinfeld. That would be hilarious.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
Newman.
Kramer and Krang.
Oh, no.
Sorry. The Krang still just...
I know. It's okay, dear. But yeah, the house rules were that, like, if you didn't recognize a character, you just throw it back in the bin or whatever. So we're basically playing with people that we all knew who they were. But yeah, I remember we got like, what was My Little Pony? I'm like, oh, I already played my Catherine the Great card. This is bullshit. it's the same with Cards Against Humanity. You always like get the card like, this would have been perfect. But it was just, they have the description, so it's just fun to read the cards and everything. Like Lovecraft is on there.
Overall.
Oh, yes, it was.
Racist.
Can you still get the game? I know it was part of a Kickstarter.
I think you can. I think they do sell it online.
Cool.
So they,
it's Slash?
Just called Slash. Oh yeah, one of my favorite cards, I had Tetris Block.
Yeah.
The long Tetris block. Oh, the monolith from 2001.
Yeah, I had the Red Ring of Fire, the Xbox.
Red Ring of Death.
Oh, Red Ring of Death.
It's like the blue screen of
Death.
Yeah,
that's kind of obscure.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably a submission. They had like an open call, like, you can write people in or whatever.
Yeah,
my gosh, Rolex already on the list. I'm good. Yeah.
All right.
So thank you for playing it with me, guys. My first time.
I think, again, we were all in the right mood.
Yeah.
We were having a grand old time with that game.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's move on to John. John, what have you been up to lately?
Well, since the new X-Men movie, Days of Future Past, has come out this weekend, I've been on a bit of a X-Men catch-up. So I read the comic version of Days of Future Past from the 80s. I watched the animated episode from the 90s, Days of Future Past. And I watched The Wolverine, which is the latest, air quotes, X-Men movie. It was pretty good. Rob spoke very highly of it, and I liked it a lot. It was good. Like I said, didn't really feel like an X-Men movie, because Wolverine is very far removed. It takes place after X-Men 3, and it all takes place in Japan. But it was cool. I liked how they handled the characters. I liked how they did what they did with the Silver Samurai. Yeah, it's good. It got me, I'm good and amped up and excited for the new movie.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. I'm also glad to hear that The Wolverine was a tolerable movie.
Yeah.
Because the other Wolverine movie was...
No, night and day.
Yeah.
Night and day.
That's excellent. That's excellent to hear. And speaking of X-Men Days of Future Past, that will be next week's episode for those of you who are wondering. So stay tuned for that.
We're in the boonies right now.
Yeah. let's move on to Michelle. Michelle, what have you been up to?
So the season finale of Bob's Burgers just finished, and this season has been awesome. So this last season, the season finale was a two-parter, and it was the younger fish odor selling the wharf and to try to make it condos. And there's attempted murder, there's destruction of property, there's drama. It was awesome. That show, I think, keeps on delivering and doesn't quit. There's singing, there's music.
Bobby!
It's fantastic. I think all of the characters are fabulous, but Louise is just perfect. And I think that this season, if you haven't checked it out, really, really need to get
with the program.
They're fantastic. They're not giving up, and it's wonderful.
Michelle, not to put you on the spot, but do you have a favorite punny burger special? Bob's Burger?
Oh, they're so good.
I should have warned you of that question.
I reblogged a whole list of them.
There's one that was like an artichoke you.
Oh, Christ.
What was the kale one? There was a really good kale one.
I still like, there was one called like the Child Abductor that came with, it was a burger with candy and it came with a free party. I liked that one. I think that was like the first season one. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of Louise's ideas.
Yeah.
Chorizo Your Own Adventure.
That's pretty good.
Oi.
That would be good in honor of pen and paper role playing.
Yeah, right?
I feel like Tarragon in 60 seconds. yeah, I guess mine would be the Mescaline Around Burger. That's pretty good. But, you know, it's not a bad deal for $5.95.
Yeah, right? These are cheap.
Yeah, I would totally be on board. I don't think Bob's has veggie burgers, but I might have to make a sacrifice for that.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised, based on the success of the show, that Fox hasn't tried to be like, why don't we set up a real get Ace John Benjamin to do a promotional thing for a month or something, just a food truck or, yeah.
Oh, that'd be a good idea.
That would be delicious.
Oh yeah, just a food truck? That'd be nothing.
Cool. Well, thanks, Michelle. Let's move on to GM Jeff. Jeff, what have you been up to lately?
So I've been watching a show on Netflix. It's the I'm only a couple episodes into the first season. It's a French series called Les Revenants, or The Returns. I'm sorry, French listeners. I cannot pronounce the language at all, so please don't be offended. Okay, so the whole premise of the show, which takes place in a small mountain village, the dead have kind of come back to life, or at least have shown back up. And again, I'm only a couple episodes in. We don't really know why yet. It's somehow connected with the town reservoir. There's something going on with that.
So they're not zombies.
They're not zombies.
Hey, we're back.
Our zombies are different here. You know, they are fully functional people. It kind of reminds me, if you remember that show, 4400. But here's what I like about The Returned. All the supernatural stuff is very muted. It's more about what happens when you show back up after life has changed over a year, 5 years, 10 years, and things are different. Some people, your loved ones, are not happy to see you. Mm. And it's all about, you know, how do I fit into this world that basically got on without me for X amount of time? It's just a really good show. There's a good mystery. Again, it is French, so, you know, be prepared to read subtitles or deal with dubbing. But I would recommend it for anyone who is interested in like supernatural mysteries, but that aren't so whiz bang pow.
Mm-hmm. I've heard good things about it.
Awesome, thank you. So let's see. I guess lately I caught up on Naruto Shippuden, which is very wildly popular anime that I feel like speaking to. I check it out every now and then, because it would be so amazing if it didn't insist on being so terrible all the time. And what I mean by that is it's filled with incredibly good story concepts and characters that are botched through really poor execution that's clearly based on attempting to make lots of money. So things are slowed down, they're dragged out. It's kind of unfortunate. You run into the power creep issue that you run into with a lot of long-standing shows. Comic books definitely have this problem too, where like, everything just gets more powerful as time goes on, and they can't figure out how to deal with it from a writing standpoint, so it ends up with just silly situations where, like, this planet-destroying entity is now fighting this planet-destroying entity, and you're like, at that point, like, is it... I can't even, like, consider the stakes when that sort of thing is happening. But otherwise, you know, it is fun in sort of the right dosage. There are definitely episodes of that show throughout its entire, I'd say at this point it's like a 15-year history, where it's actually touched upon real dramatic content and actually been really good. There's an especially good episode right after a student's master dies, and the entire episode is just focusing on the student and his grief. And it's very real. Like, it comes off as very authentic. He basically denies the way he's feeling for a while. And there are several long scenes where he's just playing, like, chess with his father afterwards. And it's really fascinating. So every now and then that show approaches greatness. And behind it, there's a really brilliant mind. But then things get lost as it's translating from concept to screen. So it's not a full endorsement, but, you know, I did want to talk about it just because it is so popular. And yeah, that about does it for Geek of the Week. So at this point, I want to give you guys an opportunity to make any shout-outs and to let people know where they can find you online, if you so desire, in your case, Jeff. So let's start with Kristen on that one.
You can find me on Twitter at Nero's Liar.
All right, John?
You can find me on Twitter at Draw the Story.
All right, Michelle?
You can find me on Twitter at Tracing Rays. Right,
Jeff, anywhere you want people to find you? Any shout-outs, anything?
I don't have a Twitter, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm pen and paper through and through.
Dead.
I know.
That's
you
perfectly
insulted
fine.
Us greatly.
So I'll shout-out to Cthulhu, Photogen Cthulhu. Mm-hmm. Photogen. And... thank you, Kristen.
Keep calm and roll for sanity.
You can follow me on Twitter at TisbyJeff. That's TISB for This Is Serious Business, Jeff. You can find us at TisbyCast.com, along with links to our Facebook, our awesome Tumblr, and several other, you know, I think we have a MySpace or something. So, yeah, as always, I have absolutely no idea how to end this episode.
This is Serious Business.
New intro.
That's true.
It's been 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years since then. Yeah, it's funny. Back then, I would type out like these like two single spaced page documents of prep. Like we're gonna talk this, then this, then this. And now it's just like we say like four sentences and then we just go. Like, okay, we're gonna do that. Yeah, sure.
This is Serious Business.